So what I want to talk to you about this morning is the new year. Surprise, right? You didn't know I was going to bring a New Year's message? Well, I am. But here's what I want to do. I want to approach it first from the perspective of a little kid. So for all the little ones that are maybe watching or even in this room tonight, or this morning, it's not evening, it's morning. I want us to take a look at this video, and I want us to see through a kid's perspective what the new year could possibly bring. So Greg, if you would show that video.
How do we celebrate New Year's?
By staying up all night long. Cider.
Some people stay up till midnight.
I fell asleep a lot.
What happens at midnight?
The ball in New York City drops.
Everybody's happy. You celebrate.
It's weird when we have to K-I-S-S kiss.
Gross.
What are your New Year's resolutions?
Have sweets all the time.
A back butt. Change my name to Sparkly.
Every week, a movie night, a game night, and a Gilligan's Island night.
Have lots of time with my grandparents.
I would like to try wasabi.
I like to get a unicorn and bunnies.
What's the thing you want to do most with your life?
Want to be an NFL kicker?
Be the best cellist in the world and be the best Lego builder in the world.
Going to all the continents.
A missionary.
And when I ride a deer,
pharmaceutical rep, because that's what my dad does.
Have like cool bedroom with like cool posters and a hot tub and the ladder with closet and have like a secret lab.
I want to get married to Kian. It would be a pony wedding with lots of ponies and have twin girls, Maddie and Madison.
Why is it not good to give up?
Then you'll never achieve what you could.
Even if you have some rough times, you don't give up. You keep going.
Someday you will get it. Don't ever say you can't get it.
If you give up, you might be missing out because one day you will get it. And it will be really awesome when you do.
How can you help someone to not give up?
Encouraging them, giving them advices for stuff.
Say, you're doing a good job.
I like to hug people and kiss them. And I'll give them a toy.
Then I'll say, I'll be your best friend. So come on. Since I can do it, then I will teach you how to do it.
Why does God change us?
Because he loves us.
He loves us so much.
He knows that we need to be changed sometimes. And he wants us to have a better life.
He doesn't want us to be lost. He wants us to come home to him.
How does God change us?
Puts all the good things in our hearts.
He changes us by giving us something to believe in.
Why is it important to give someone a second chance?
When you're giving someone a second chance, you're trusting them and believing in them.
So that we're like not caught up on something that we've done. We can't really move on.
To have a new beginning.
What would you tell someone who didn't believe God could change them?
That Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
And he can change you because he's Jesus.
Keep praying and he will change you. You will feel it.
Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
And let me say to you, Happy New Year. Now, I want you to greet your neighbor and tell each other Happy New Year. Okay, so go ahead and get used to this. And if you're sitting by yourself, I want you to go ahead and cluster with someone because I've got some exercises for us throughout this message that will force you to interact with one another. Okay, so now's your time to move. Go ahead and get up and move closer and cluster together. If you're in groups of two or more, that's fine. I would consider that a cluster, okay? But if you're by yourself, scoot down with someone so that you're not by yourself, okay? All right. So for those of you that are just tuning in on the live stream, my name is Chance Yankee. I've got the honor and privilege of teaching our youth in college here at Cottonwood Church. So I want to welcome you wherever you might be. And if you stepped in late, welcome. I'm glad you're here. So we're going to be talking about the new year, new beginnings. And my question for you is this: how will you begin again? How will you begin again? You know, all throughout history, we've got moments in time and in history where we get the opportunity, or someone has gotten the opportunity before, to begin again. We see it all the time. There's an annual thing that happens. It's, you know, it's our earth rotates around the sun, and we get this seasonal change that happens. And so even in the cosmos, we see new beginnings. Spring comes around every year. The sun comes up every day. There's a chance for a new beginning. Relationships that sometimes went awry or were not good, there's always a chance, more times than not, for that relationship to be set new again. We see new beginnings in children. We see new beginnings with grandparents. We see new beginnings all across our universe, from the big picture to the small. And so my question is, how will you begin again? And I think if we're going to address that, we really need to focus our efforts this morning in three specific areas. And here's the first one: how we think. How we think will determine how we begin again. The second I'm going to cover later is how we pray. How we pray will greatly determine how we begin again. And the third will be, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? So I want to jump in, turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. You know, how we think and what we have our mindset on is so incredibly important as far as beginning again or setting afresh, starting new. It's so important. You saw it on the video from the very beginning. They were asking little kids questions that pertain to what it is that they are processing, how it is that they perceive, how it is that they think through some of those important questions and maybe not so important questions, like having a secret laboratory in the basement of your closet, which would be pretty cool, by the way. Well, Romans 8, 5 and 6 says this: for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. I don't know about you, but I sure want life. I want a good life, and I sure want peace. Agreed? Does everybody want peace? Amen. I don't know one single soul who wakes up any given morning and says, man, I can't wait to cause chaos in this world, that's in their right mind, that has their mind set on the Spirit. If we have our mind set on the Spirit, we can and we will fulfill all that God has for us. Make no doubt about it. We will not miss it. One of the early prayer requests that I used to have as a young man, early in the faith, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, was God, I don't want to miss you. God, I don't want to miss you. If you speak, I want to be able to hear it. If you're doing something, you want me to be a part of that and jump in, God, I want to be able to see that when it passes by. And it's still a prayer request. It has been since the beginning of my faith journey. And I think it's an important prayer. I think it's an important thought that we camp out on this idea of not missing God. And of course, the way to do that is to have our mind set on the Spirit of God, to focus our efforts in such a way that we're lining up with what God has for us. But here's my challenge, not just for you, not just for the individual. Us, I mean, as a community of people. I was challenged this last week. I was going down the road and listening to the radio, and you know how they sometimes on Christian radio they have those 60-second blurbs from a preacher, and I don't remember what preacher it was, But it was on there, and I was listening, and this preacher was challenged by the question, when's the last time you prayed something that involved more than just your needs, more than just your own family? When's the last time that you really went to bat for someone else? Oh, man, that was challenging. I was like, oh, man, that's a good one. I think that's the challenge we all need. And before I jump too far ahead, it really begins with our thoughts. Where is our mindset? What are we camped out on? What's constantly feeding into our system, into our soul? You know, Abraham in the Bible, Genesis chapter 12, the Lord came to Abraham and he said this, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Was that blessing just for Abraham and his family? Obviously not. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about what we're talking about today. It was the Christian faith. That was the birthplace, the beginning. Abram, if you will, was in a chrysalis. He was in a cocoon. And God was in the process of transforming his mind and his thoughts and his heart to a place where finally, 25 years later, at the ripe age, I'm not going to say the ripe old age, I'm just going to say the ripe age of 99, she finally had a kiddo. After all that asking, after all that pleading, after all that praying, at the ripe age of 99, bam, you've got your promise fulfilled. I'm doing what I said I was going to do. And all Abram needed to do for that transformation from Abram to Abraham happen was believe, was line up his thinking with the way that God was challenging him to think. You know, Shelley mentioned it this morning. Sometimes we forget all the good things God has done for us. It's an old song, prone to wonder, prone to stray. We forget. We do. We are a people that forget. We forget our promises. We forget the good things that maybe came our way just earlier in the day. I don't know about you, but sometimes if I don't write it down, it is, bam, it is out of my mind. I'm just, maybe it's being 40. I don't know. Oh, Lord, help me when I'm 50. So here's what I want to do. I had you cluster up for a reason. I want you to think back, just even this last week, not to mention the entire 2017, okay? If you've got something that's real big in your mind and you want to share that, then that's great. But I want to challenge you, in your clusters, in your groups this morning, wherever you are, get together. If you're online, get together and talk about this. I'm going to give you time to do this, okay? I want you to think back on the good things that God has done for you this year. And if you have a hard time even coming up with one thing, just thank Jesus for the sacrifice on the cross. Because that's really the most important thing, is it not? Jesus. So I want to give you 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes. So you better get together in your clusters, in your groups, and think about the good things that God has done for you just this last week. Ready? Go. 2 minutes. 10 seconds. Well, time flies when you're reminiscing about good things, doesn't it? That was a fast 2 minutes. I saw smiles on your faces. I saw laughter. I could see joy. I could see thankfulness. I could see satisfaction. I could see peace. It's all over your faces. When we think and we have our minds focused on the things that we ought to, the things, as it says in Philippians 4:8, that are true, that are honorable, that are just, that is pure, that is lovely, that is commendable, that is excellent, that is worthy of praise. When our minds are fixed on those things, we line ourselves up to not miss God. We line ourselves up to walk by the Spirit. The mind is where the battle begins. So let's give ourselves a fighting chance. Let's put ourselves in the right position to get to that next place anyway. Have you had those times where you just wake up and you're automatically maybe in a bad mood and you don't know why? Maybe you had a rough dream. Maybe you're anxious about what the day was bringing. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you're just off that day. Maybe you need to go back to sleep and get up on the other side of the bed. I think we've all had those times before. Especially in those moments, friends. Especially in those moments. Heed Philippians 4:8. Take time, stop, and line up your thinking, your thoughts, with the way that the Lord would suggest and have for you to be lined up. So how we think is deeply important to how we will begin again. Second is this, how we pray. How we pray. I don't know if you've ever done a study on great prayers of the Bible. I mean, if you've ever done a Google search for great prayers of the Bible. But if you do, and if you have, you come across some pretty incredible prayers. Incredible things. I mean, just things that in that moment, as you're reading those, you think, man, how would you think to pray something like that? How would you have the boldness to ask for something like that? How would you, in the midst of hopelessness, even begin to think there's a fighting chance? And it may be one in a million, but there's still a chance. Some of those great prayers of the Bible involve Moses. And if you want to do a quick study on it, man, just go to Hebrews 11, the hall of fame of those who are faithful, the hall of faith as we call it. And just go down person by person. I promise at some point in their story, there will be a prayer attached to them in some form or fashion where they cried out to God. And you can see an incredible response. But the first thing that I've got here is Moses. Moses prayed for Israel in the wilderness in Exodus 32. It's an incredible example of Moses pleading with God to preserve God's own name beyond his own little world. In God's character, so that it would not be defamed, that God's name would be renowned, and that they would not destroy Israel. Second, I've got here Abraham's prayer for Sodom. Boy, if there's ever a town or a place that you just, God, would you do something amazing here? Abraham's prayer for Sodom, an example of intercessory prayer, which finds its basis in God's character. Third, David's prayer for pardon and confession of sin. Boy, how important is this? We talked about this just a few months ago on Sunday morning. Classic prayer of repentance. Daniel's confession on behalf of his people in Daniel chapter 9, when he realizes the 70 years of exile are ending. And he offers a prayer of confession, in which he, though personally a righteous man, identifies with the sins of his people and asks for mercy. As I said earlier, when's the last time you just really went to bat for somebody on your knees and you prayed prayers that only had to do with them? Nehemiah's prayer for success. Love the book of Nehemiah. He hears the suffering and then returns the suffering of the returned exiles. And after grieving and fasting for months, mind you, Nehemiah prays for success and commits himself to God's will for his life. And he accomplishes that. Jesus' prayer of submission in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22 and John 17. Jesus asks for the cup of ultimately crucifixion to be bypassed, but then prays for the Father's will to be done most of all. That prayer always challenges me. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes when the going gets tough, in my mind, I see it as a hurdle. But I love Wayne Frank's response. Anytime I'm having one of those moments where I just think, do I need to quit? Do I need to give up on this? Is this too difficult? Is this too hard? Should I not be pursuing this? But I know it's something that I ultimately have to do. I have to carry it out. There's no way around it. But I see that hurdle in front of me. I think to what Wayne Frank often tells me, Chance, those aren't hurdles. Those are opportunities. How many times have we heard him say that? That's not a hurdle. That's an opportunity. I love that thought. I love that thought because it corrects my prayers. It realigns the way I should be praying. And ultimately, Jesus, though there was a great hurdle in front of him, he knew that that opportunity one day would serve to join the hand of man in the hand of God. And that's why we celebrate on any given Sabbath day, on any given Sunday, what Jesus has done on the cross. And then you have your classic example, Matthew chapter 6 of the Lord's Prayer, right? Classic example. You know, most of us heard this prayer and likely can recite it now, but there's so much more to the model prayer that Jesus gave us than just a routine rote recitation. This is a prayer with real power. Real power. If you ever take time to dissect the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 and really study it, which is not my goal and aim this morning, and use that as a model, and just kind of step by step, use that to help pray you through those times, I want to suggest it'll change your life. It will, and it can. And I don't want to talk about it and not read it, so here you go. Our Father in heaven, praise be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses or debts, as we have forgiven our debtors, our trespasses. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I was talking to a friend one time. I said, man, how you been praying? He said, well, I've just really been praying for other people. I don't pray for myself much. And I said, well, I understand that, and that's good, and that's part of my challenge this morning is praying for others, but boy, if we don't take the time to pray for our own souls, I think we miss out on an incredible blessing. And while in one sense, I think that was admirable of my friend to say that, in another sense, I think it was very naive to pass up the blessing that God has for you. So take the time and pray for your own soul. And we're going to do that here in just a second. And I want to use the Lord's Prayer as a model for you. And Greg, if you could put that Lord's Prayer up on one screen, if we could just use that as a model, just to pray through that with each other, for each other this morning, even for your own soul. I think it could be life-changing, but here's the catch. And everybody look at me. Here's the catch. I want you to pray, and I want you to ask in such a way that you're expectant. Don't pray and ask for things as if it's far out, as if it's some kind of, there's no way you're ever going to be able to really get a hold of that promise or that word or that request that's on your heart. I want you to pray expectantly. I want you to pray in such a way, it's almost as if it's going to be answered today. And I don't want you to take that thought that is so prevalent in our society, hope for the best, expect the worst. No, that's not how God would have us live our lives. I don't believe it when I see it. I'm going to stop that one right here. No, pray expectantly. If the Spirit of God is living inside of you, know that He's praying for you. Know that Jesus is at the right hand interceding for you. And know that God the Father wants you to line up with His will. So when you ask and you pray, do it with great expectation, great anticipation that God is going to bring that word quickly. As our pastor often says, Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you guys a couple of minutes to just verbalize those prayers. Yes, I want you to say it out loud. Not the unspoken prayer request so nobody can hear. We're not going to do that. I want you to verbalize it in your own tongue, in your heart language. I want you to verbalize those prayers. And if there's something that God's already put on your heart that's just a huge burden, pray that prayer. Pray it out loud. It's okay if your neighbor hears you. All right? You got 2 minutes. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Let's verbalize those prayers. Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers. Amen. You know, I had a buddy a while back post something that was of great need, and then I had another buddy. He responded, and the response was this: I hope God hears your prayers. And I thought, I know God hears their prayers. It's not a hope. I have full knowledge. Because of what the Bible teaches me about prayer, about people who are followers of Christ, and I know that situation, I know God heard those prayers. There's no doubt in my mind. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Nothing. No doubt. There are going to be situations and words in our life that are seemingly impossible. Seemingly impossible. And this gets me to my third point. What are we going to do about it? You know, as Chip Ingram said, one of the greatest lines in the entire Bible was a response to a teenage girl. When the angel Gabriel told Mary that she'd be pregnant and give birth to the Son of God, and she asked him, how would that even be possible? because she was a virgin and not yet married. And it's not like, God, there's no way that this is going to happen. It was, I believe you. I just don't know how it's going to happen. And friends, I want to encourage you today. There may be issues. There may be circumstances. There may be things going on in your own life that you're thinking, how can God ever resolve this? How is this going to come to fruition for God's sake? How is this going to work out for the good? How is this going to further the kingdom of God? Well, I want to challenge you to take the actions of young Mary. You know, even when that response that she gave, I'm sorry, that the angel said to her, nothing is impossible with God. We've talked about that on many occasions here. No word. Nothing will be impossible with God. You know, in the little cartoon video, little drawing, I guess it was, you could see the all things, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and the little person lifting the weight, all of a sudden God comes along and picks him up. I love that picture. So much of the time, that's what God does with us. And it happens here more times than not. But it also needs to happen here with our hands, with our actions. It's one thing to think on something. It's another thing to pray through something. But when God asks you to do it, all of a sudden we go, I'm going to white knuckle this thing. I'm just going to hang on. You know, in teaching our youth, they see the adults in our church raise their hands in worship. They see responses of ones that have come before them that are mature and have been in the faith longer sometimes. They see you come down here and kneel and surrender. And so when we go to camp and they're challenged by a speaker who's really speaking their own language, part of their natural response is to do what they've seen modeled. They go down front. They surrender. They kneel. They come to that place where they say, you know what? God, I give you my all. God, I cannot do this any longer on my own strength. I surrender. And they raise their hands in sweet surrender. I see it year after year, and I never tire of it. It's an incredibly inspiring thing to see a young person who doesn't really understand, more times than not, everything that a true commitment to Christ will hold. None of us do, really, at any age, right? We don't know all that God has for us, but we know enough to say, yes, God, yes, I'll do it. I'll do it. Whatever you ask, bring it my way. Whatever you want, I say yes. My yes is on the altar. The decision's already made. And how many times have we heard the challenge from our own pastor? What's the last thing God told you to do? Have you done it? You know, Paul didn't back down. He kept his hand to the plow. Opportunity after opportunity. We've been studying the book of Acts in Sunday school, and if you haven't been coming, I want to invite you to come to Sunday school. We've been studying the book of Acts, and time after time after time, the Apostle Paul had an opportunity to go, I don't think so. This one's too tough. This one's out of my league. This one's beyond my ability to do anything about it. And I think sometimes we see those guys in the Bible and we go, man, yeah, that was awesome. They're obviously smarter. They're more holy. They're greater. They're better than me. Can I really expect God to do something like that through me? Everybody, nod your head yes. Nod with me. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, he can. And yes, he will. Yes, he can. And yes, he will. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Does he not? Ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Because it's really all about God's power. God doing it. God not just lining up your thinking and bringing you to that point where you're praying His will, but you're doing His bidding. And this is really all about surrender. If you want to have a new beginning, it has to be in a place, first of all, of surrender. It has to be. And that's why I'm going to say this. Matthew 16:26. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? See, you can begin to think God's thoughts. You can even do research study on great prayers of the Bible. And you can even go out and start doing great things. But I want to tell you this, friends online, friends in this room, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're just scratching the surface. You're not really getting to the heart of what it means to be a Christ follower if you're not a Christ follower. My journey with the Lord didn't begin until I was 17, until I truly came to that point where I admitted that, yes, I was a sinner. I asked God to forgive me. I believed that what He did on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins, He did for me in that moment. I believed that He was raised from the dead and is alive today. I confessed my sins and I repented from my lifestyle. That's important. And I gave my life to Jesus. I started my faith journey. Have you started your faith journey today? Because all of what we've talked about so far will just be good deeds unless you're a Christ follower. Unless Christ is Lord of your life, unless He's the King of Kings in your life, unless you've repented, turned to Him, given your life to Jesus, all this is just for the applause of men. And ultimately, it won't please God, because the only way we can please God is by faith. And if you haven't placed your faith in Jesus today, I want to encourage you to do that. I'll be here after the service. If you're online, there's an easy way to get a hold of us. The phone number is on the website. Probably just a click away. You can begin that relationship with Jesus today. And you can line up your thinking in a godly way. That new beginning is possible for you to have. You can begin to pray in such a way that you'll actually see your prayers answered instead of just hitting the ceiling. And third, you begin to do things. Your hands, you will be a useful tool in God's incredibly crafty and creative hand. So while some of you may be anxious about what the new year begins and about starting fresh and starting new, or you may not even be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, I want to say this. Turn your eyes to Jesus. All those songs that we sang earlier today have to do with putting our focus, our thoughts, our efforts on God Himself. You do that, you're going to see a life changed. Not just your own, but you're going to see the lives around you changed. So in closing, I want to ask you this. If God were to peek into our minds on a daily basis, which He does, scary, huh? Would our thoughts affect more than just us? What's God been prompting you to think or believe that it will affect more than just you? If God were to peek into our hearts on a daily basis, would our prayers affect more than just us? What has God been prompting you to pray that will affect more than just you? And if God were to peek into our hearts on a daily basis, would our actions affect more than just us? What has God been prompting you to do that would affect more than just your little world? So much of the time, we give our attention, our thoughts, our focused efforts on things that really don't matter. I want to challenge you, going into this new year, to think like God thinks. Line yourself up. It's an easy way to do it. Get in your word. To pray the things that God would have you to pray. Easy way to do it. Just get in your word. And to do the things that God would have you do in this next year. So as you set your goals, think, pray, and do what God would have you think, pray, and do. Mike, you want to come up and close us?
Thank you, Chance. Let's pray together, okay? Let's just pray. And I just want to ask the question.